a passionate instigator and dynamic problem solver. Dr. Kevin Ross Emery, the host of the Dr. Kevin Radio Show, will be taking you outside the box, behind the curtain, and identifying the load of BS we are fed every day. And now, Dr. Kevin.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the Dr. Kevin Show here on Om Time, where we're changing the world, wait for it, one Om at a time. Here this week, we have, as we have every month, we have Rob Stewart from innercenter.org, Dr. Kevin Show astrologer. And we have Lori Powers Otto, our semi-regular co-host. And we're going to be talking about planetary influences for the incoming sign, the incoming time of Scorpio. Scorpio's my time. I may be a Cancer. I got a lot of Scorpio in my chart, so I'm swimming in familiar waters and, you know, body banging those glaciers that always show up when Scorpio's around. They look so small from the top. And then you hit one and you realize, oh, it was only about 1,000 feet deep and, 500 feet wide, but it only hurt a little. So as we talk about the nature of Scorpio in just a minute, I do want to say that there is something. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas, Mazel Tov, whatever it is, whatever you celebrate, whoever you are, we don't care. Just remember, you can call in at 202-570-7057, and you can ask questions. You can share stories, observations, but just remember, we ask that you be respectful when you do so. We reserve the right to be disrespectful to just the co-host of the show. So that means if you call in, you got to be respectful, or we get to hang up on you because that's the way it rolls. Don't like the cookie? Don't eat it. Anyway, so Lori, Rob, how are you guys?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks.
I'm. You can tell I'm wound up, right?
You? Never.
So I have one little thing I want to bring up, and then we're going to turn this show over to Rob because he's already warned me to fasten our seatbelts because, baby, it's a bumpy ride going into this 2020 election. But we're going to get there in a minute. So I have to say, you know, in my regular show, I always do a hot under the collar, something or something that, you know, it's a hot topic. So it's either something that warms the cockles of my heart, or it gets me hot under the topic. And, you know, I've been trying to stay very positive. Lori and I do, the second Thursday of every month. We do Thoughtful Thursday with motivational, inspirational stories. We try to do the astrology on the Dr. Kevin Show to give you more information with which to make better decisions. I mean, you know, but I'm afraid I have to go negative for just a moment. So for those of you who are too delicate and too fragile and don't know if this world is made for you, shove something in your ear. I don't care. I'm going there anyway. So the UPS guy comes to drop something off to me this week. And I don't think any, he comes up and I need to sign for it. But he says, well, I can sign for you. He said, it's, you know, because of all the COVID thing, I can just sign up for you. So blah. And I'm like, okay. And he goes, boy, I can't wait till after November 3rd. Cause all this stuff's going to go away then. Have a good day. Bye. And I was gobsmacked.
Absolutely.
I was like, I stopped and thought about it for a second. I'm sure he probably is supporting the idiot in the White House because that's what they're telling everybody. They just made this up to make me look bad. And here you have somebody. First of all, I thought about complaining to UPS because, first of all, don't don't make comments like that when you're dropping off UPS packages. That's really unprofessional. But then I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to try to get the guy in trouble, because that's all that would happen, even if that happened. Because what's the point? He's just going to, you know, I mean, you can't miss the big, like, you know, Black Lives Matter sign in my front yard, which might give you a clue that I'm probably not one of the ones that have drank the Kool-Aid that COVID was made up just to make an idiot look like an idiot, because he does a good enough job all on his own. He doesn't need our help, really. But as of this moment, recorded, according to my sources, we've had 8,646,827 cases. We have today, and the day is not over, we've already had 61,477 cases. There have been a total of 228,234 deaths. With today's total, and today's not over, 826 deaths. And there was a part of me that was literally wanted to chase the guy down and say, do you think they made up those 228,000 people? Because I know some of those people that died. And guess what? They're not going to rise from the grave on November 4th if Bozo gets reelected. God help us. You really think the 228,000 deaths were made up to make this Joker look like the Joker he is? Really? Really? You're really going to hold on that all of this is just imaginary? And all of these people, hundreds of thousands, actually millions of people who have been affected by hundreds of thousands of people dying from this thing, were all made up to make this guy look bad. Really? Is that really what you think? But I said, you know what? I'm going to let it go. But I really have to put out there, you got to take a deep breath these days. You got to remember, as Rob will remind us, that Mars is in Aries, and it's even retrograde right now. And there is going to be a tendency to want to get hot under the collar and to lose your temper. But for some reason, it just right down to my core made me want to scream. What are you, an idiot? Actually, there was a few other words in that sentence, but I won't repeat them on air. I got news for you guys. Those 228,000 people are not made up. Those millions of people who have suffered losses, the other ones that have been sick, that have not recovered, that may have not recovered for the whole rest of their life from some of the symptoms, some of the leftover effects of this illness, are going to be suffering 20 years from now, and they might have been able to avoid it, if we had acted differently. So I'm going to get off my soapbox, because I know there's a lot going on astrologically, but you know what? It's no good to have a public forum from which one can speak if one can't speak their truth sometimes. In a most forceful manner. So you guys are welcome to comment or just ignore me and go on to the astrology. I'm done.
All right, Rob, we're going to leave that up to you. Let's...
Yeah, all right. Well, I mean, I think you made a good point, and I guess I'll just continue with the astrology, if that works for you guys.
Yep. Yeah, it works for me. I mean, I don't think I left a whole lot of things you really need to comment on. I don't think either one of you disagree with me. So go ahead. Rob, tell me why I'm so irritable.
So it's obviously it's 2020. It's been a difficult year, no doubt about it. And, you know, one of the things that I think of from time to time was back in 2018, July 2018. There was an event with about 12 kids from Thailand stuck in a cave with their coach. And it was a huge story. You know, these kids were trapped in a cave about 4 kilometers in the earth. And floodwaters, monsoon, just seemed impossible that these kids were going to get out of there. It was a really powerful time, certainly for me. I Partially was raised in Thailand for a little bit of time, but it was a story that touched the world, and it just, the mind could come up with a billion and one reasons why this wasn't going to work out well. But it did. You know, there was one hero that passed away, and there's 10,000 other heroes that were helping things move through, and all of these kids came out of the cave. And, you know, I think this is a really good metaphor for what's going on in the world today. And, you know, we could think of a billion reasons why, you know, to scare ourselves half to death. And I think, you know, the story of the Thai cave, I think is important to remember, and that all of this is in the name of transformation. There's deep transformation occurring. And, you know, just, I think it's important to remember that the purpose of all these challenges, transformation, is for evolution. It's for letting go of the old, embracing the new. And so, you know, the bottom line is these next 30 days, the astrology suggests things, there's a bumpy ride. And in that is transformation, and there's evolution. And, you know, digging into our own shadow and bringing our own inner child out into the light, so to speak, and for healing. But oftentimes, you know, the birth canal is very challenging. And so these next 30 days, there's some transformative astrology occurring. You know, so first the sun is entering Scorpio. It represents vital creative energy. It's what we do to feel sane. And so when you do your sun sign, this is what you do to stay sane in this world. And the sun's been a Libra since September 22nd. Libra is about seeking balance, fairness, equality. It's not necessarily about getting those things. It's about seeking them and finding ways to bring them about. And so also the Libra is about developing healthy boundaries. And in a way, Libra is sort of the calm before the Scorpio depth. And the sun enters Scorpio, I believe, tomorrow, the 23rd. And so if Libra is about how we interact with friends and colleagues and people in general, Scorpio is about how we interact with people in more intimate relationships. Not everyone gets to see our Scorpio side. Scorpio is more intense. It's, you know, it comes out in any sort of more intimate relationships. It's about deeper psychology, you know, the nature of our intentions, motivations, and compulsions, and things like that. And so, you know, this intensity is what leads to that transformation, the Scorpio, the phoenix rising from the ashes. And so the key words for the month ahead have to do with unpredictability and revolution, transformation. So the, you know, the first thing, there's about four things I want to talk about. The first is the full moon in Taurus on October 31st. Uranus is conjunct the full moon in Taurus, opposing the sun in Scorpio. And so the key words here are change, liberation, new insights that occur. With Uranus conjunct the moon, a lot of sudden insight, tremendous sudden unpredictability. The conjunction between Uranus and the moon is extraordinarily tight. So there's just tremendous unpredictability at this time in this full moon in Taurus. Full moon's about completions. It's a time to sort of, you know, cashing in on anything you started 6 months ago during the corresponding new moon back in the end of April. But there's something about breaking free of something that was holding you back with this full moon in Taurus on October 31st. Taurus is all about money and finances also. So this is sort of the theme, sort of uncertainty in those areas. And, you know, full moons bring with them the sort of internal struggle between our needs and our wants, the heart and the mind. So these are some of the things that we're all going to be navigating in our own ways. And so there's sort of a destabilization that occurs with Uranus. And it's can be difficult, but it's helpful in the long run in astrology. And so there's something about some rebalancing that's occurring from a higher perspective. That's a real theme with this full moon. And the moon is our daily life, you know, so with it conjunct, the full moon conjunct Uranus, there's sudden changes, breakthroughs that occur in daily life. And Taurus is also about financial systems. It's about what we value. And so with this full moon, again, conjunct Uranus, there's something unexpected, something sudden, paradigm breaking, you know, something along these lines. And it's pretty much on the eve of the election. So, you know, you don't need an astrologer to tell you these things. I'm pretty much the eve of this election that's going on. But there's a lot of unpredictability and moods and behaviors. And all this is occurring with retrograde Mars squaring Pluto and Jupiter. And a lot of this does point to uncertainty in finances, the stock market, things like that. You know, I'm not a financial advisor, so speak to your financial advisor, but there's, in the astrology, there's certainly a lot of uncertainty in those areas. And so all of this is really dramatic. And, you know, it's the type of thing of unexpected events, unexpected reactions to those events. And, you know, on a positive note, Venus enters its own sign of Libra on the 28th of October, and retrograde Mercury dips into Libra that same day. So there are opportunities for easier and smoother communications than there could be, given this intensity in the collective and in the sky, in astrology. There's something about emotional liberation that's available here. And of course, sometimes it comes with destabilization. But it's sort of rebirthing that's occurring. Again, it's Scorpio season with the rebirth. So that's part one of what we'll talk about. Again, it's there's a lot of uncertainty with this, and unexpectedness in those energies. And so that brings us to Election Day, and I know we've got a break here coming up soon. So
So I'm going to ask a question to take us into break, because I know the break is going to show up any minute now. So this full moon, and there's the break, and we'll be right back to hear about the astrology of Election Day 2020. Just another day.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds. Om Times. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going Om? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers, pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
These are the sounds of a dinner. A dinner that almost didn't happen. A dinner now served, thanks to people like you. Due to COVID-19, 17 million more Americans may face hunger. Feeding America is helping our neighbors in need. And if you're able, you can too. Donations are being accepted at feedingamerica.org/coronavirus. Brought to you by the Ad Council and Feeding America, 200 food banks strong.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show. This week we're doing planetary influences with Rob Stewart from innercenter.org and our semi-regular co-hostess, Lori Powers Otto. And we were just moving from Halloween to shit show. I mean, election day. That full moon on the 31st, how long is the conjunction? How long are they going to stay in conjunction? Will Uranus and the moon still be in conjunction, or are they going to be too wide for conjunction on the actual day? I was just curious.
Yeah, no, the moon moves pretty quick. So
Yeah.
The moon will no longer be in conjunction with Uranus, but Uranus will be opposite the sun. Which, of course, sudden unexpectedness, and we'll get into that with the election day astrology.
Okay. Any questions,
yes,
Lori?
No, I don't have any questions. As always, Rob
okay.
is doing his job.
Great. Go ahead. Hit us with your
All
best
right.
shot.
All right. So election day. So Mercury's retrograde right now. It's in Scorpio. It's retrograde. Which means it looks like it's moving backwards in the sky, but of course it's not in reality. It's just from our place on Earth, we're sort of overtaking the on the inside track of Mercury. So from our perspective, it looks like it's moving backwards. And it's a time of reassessing, it's reviewing, reevaluating, and resting. And so Mercury's been retrograde in Scorpio since October 14th. And it will go direct in Libra on election day. And I have a question for you guys. I'm wondering if you can guess the last election in which Mercury went station direct on the day of the election. If you could take a guess.
I don't know. The last election 4 years ago? I don't know.
Yeah, it's 2000, back with Al Gore, George Bush, the too close to call, hanging chads. Right. And so this basically, that election in 2000 is the same conditions with Mercury. Mercury was station going direct on the day of the election in Libra, the scales of justice in Libra. It led to a recount, which was eventually to the U.S. Supreme Court. Some say it was decided by the Supreme Court because they stopped the recount. And so these are the types of themes that one could expect in this election. You know, obviously, you probably don't need an astrologer to, this has been talked about in the past, but the astrology really supports this type of scenario playing out. However, unlike 2000, Mercury, which is going station direct, is squaring Jupiter, Saturn, and Pluto. So more intensity, technical difficulties, snags, errors, lots of issues, even underhanded subversive tactics. You know, these are the types of things that are that occur, I guess in politics in general. But these are types of things that are astrologically would be supported. So, there's no need to stay up late Tuesday night on election night to because you know, I don't know. That's my take on it. We'll see what happens. But it certainly seems like the results won't be in. back in 2000, it took 20 days to a decision to be made in these courts and recounts and all sorts of stuff. So and like I said earlier, the sun is opposite Uranus, so there's a lot of change, there's a lot of uncertainty, a lot of rebelliousness, dramatic and drastic changes occurring at this time. So yeah, so any questions about the election? That's what it's showing in the astrology, to expect the unexpected, expect delays, expect technical difficulties, and a whole lot of issues.
So we know that one of the other players here has been this Mars in Aries. And so you have the Mercury going direct on election day. When Mars goes direct around that time sometime too, does it not? Am I remembering that incorrectly?
Yeah. Mars goes direct November 14th, I believe. I think it's the 14th.
Okay.
So Mars will be retrograde during election.
Okay. So you have the planet of communication squaring off against, you said, Uranus, Saturn, and Jupiter.
Retrograde Mercury is square Jupiter, Saturn, and Pluto on election day. Yeah.
Jupiter, Saturn, and Pluto. Okay. So lots of transformation, lots of stuff going on, but that Mars is also going to, how is that going to play with everybody? Because we've talked about that this Mars is can be given to violence. This can be a violent Mars in this position.
Right.
And I want to know how is all that playing out with everything else? Is it a player at all on election day?
Right.
Or
so
is it
off Mars.
By itself?
Right. I mean, Mars is aggression. It's assertiveness. You know, in the worst extreme cases, it's violence. It's retrograde. So you know, retrograde Mars is sort of, it's the type of thing of not my will but thine will be done type of thing. We sort of, our own individual will can be stifled or difficult to exert our own will. So it's this type of thing of feeling, you know, not necessarily in the driver's seat in one's life, which can bring about a lot of anger, frustration, and things like that. But the thing to remember is that to know about this and to, you know, do the inner work. You know, we're reviewing our assertion in the world. We're reviewing our own aggression, the aggression of others, our own assertiveness. We're sort of reviewing this so that when it goes direct, November 14th, we're more wise and informed. But how does it affect the election? It's, you know, it doesn't make, it's right, it's opposite Mercury, but at the 10th degree. So it is a playing an opposite Mercury. So it's, yeah, there's a lot of friction, a lot of, you know, just sort of classic election stuff going on.
Well, you know, you said that it's opposite, but it's at a 10 degree. And, you
That's
know,
right.
I sometimes look at all of this stuff, and I want to make sure we have a chance to cover, because you said you had a lot to cover, so I don't want to go down any rabbit holes here. But
no, it's all right. It's all right.
I always look at that, you know, okay, you know, any kind of aspect, unless it's with a major planet involved is, normally we look at five. 5 to 10, there's some influence, but it's really waning, more or less. And 10 is kind of really the edge of much influence. Unless it's supercharged. And if you've got all of this energy squaring the Mercury going direct, then I think that the Mars might have more than its normal influence with a 10 degree orb.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I mean, and just knowing that it's an election, it's sort of says it all right there. The thing is, I think things could really get more assertive, aggressive on November 14th. And we'll get to that stuff in a bit, but
Well, that's where I was going. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. It's sort of the kettle's boiling, but again, all this is there's transformation occurring, even as frustrating and whatever it is for everyone, in each and everybody's own way. I agree with what you say there.
Yeah, I would suspect from what you're saying, and then I want you to move on again. I want to make sure we cover everything. But listening to what you're saying and knowing that we have this supercharging going on, and if Mars is in that wide a degree of an opposition, but it's squaring Saturn, Pluto, and Jupiter, then Saturn, Pluto, and Jupiter are the three of them. At least one, if not more, must also be dinging Mars in some way. I mean, the angles have got to work out that somehow it's getting dung. So I'm thinking that election day, you're going to see some minor blow-ups, but I think everybody's going to feel like nobody's getting heard. It's almost like everybody's going to be shouting out, is going to be shouting over each other.
Like, yeah, no, absolutely, absolutely. And there is a square to Pluto, Saturn, Jupiter for sure, for Mars, but in the nature of time, I do want to make sure there's enough because there's some things I want to get
through. Go ahead.
Yeah. All right. So November 12th. This is a really important date for the month astrologically. This is the third Jupiter Pluto conjunction of the year. Jupiter is about growth, expansion. Inflation and excess, pride and arrogance in its shadow side. Pluto's regeneration, transformation, purging, and evolution. And so these two planets made a conjunction on April 1st, 2020. This is right as the lockdown began. Before this, it was 12 years ago, the last Pluto-Jupiter conjunction. The second Pluto-Jupiter conjunction, so the first one this year was right as the lockdown began, and that's sort of a classic Jupiter-Pluto type of thing. The second conjunction occurred on June 30th, but both planets were retrograde, so which is more about prodding and testing and things like that. And so, the events of June, July, when the second Jupiter-Pluto conjunction occurred, this is something that that we can all process and integrate, if you want to contemplate what was going on at that time. But so this third conjunction on November 12th, this occurs at 22 degrees Capricorn, which is the exact degree in which the Saturn-Pluto conjunction occurred back in January. So the Saturn-Pluto conjunction, that's the big one. That's what occurs every 35 to 40 years. It sparks tremendous change in geopolitics. It sparked it sort of marked the beginning of the World War I. Then it marked the beginning of the Cold War. And then it marked sort of the early 80s and the beginning of, global terrorism and financial crises in the early 80s. And these cycles last 35 to 40 years. So the latest one was in early January 2020. So This Jupiter-Pluto conjunction that's occurring for the third time this year, it's on November 12th, and it brings to the surface truth. Pluto, Jupiter is truth. Pluto is about deep compulsion, the shadow side, things like that. But it has its growing pains. And like I said, the lockdown is what occurred back in April. And the interesting note here is that this conjunction, Jupiter-Pluto, is occurring on the same day as the Federal Reserve is having its Jupiter return. So the Jupiter return occurs every 12 years. Jupiter is about finances, expansion, and new growth. And what this means is that the cycle that began 12 years ago, it's a 12-year cycle with Jupiter, which was the 2008 bailouts. Back in October, I believe it was October 2008, the bailouts, the QE, et cetera, that 12-year cycle is coming to a completion and a new beginning, but it's occurring with Pluto. So there's some deep transformation, some growing pains, and some purging at this conjunction. So this is really showing at sort of an ending and new beginning at the Federal Reserve while Jupiter's conjunct Pluto. And, you know, this can signal, you know, transformation at some point in monetary system. I have no idea. I'm not a financial person in any way, but this could mark some transformation occurring in those systems. And certainly marks some change ahead. And this is also, this Jupiter-Pluto conjunction also, again, it's at 22 degrees, it's also trine the U.S.'s natal Neptune. And so there's something here about truths being revealed, flaws being exposed, revolution, digging beneath the surface, transcending old states of consciousness, internal transformation within the U.S., system. And I also want to note that a new Saturn-Jupiter cycle begins in late December of this year in Aquarius. These are 20-year cycles with Saturn and Jupiter, and they represent financial institutions, regulatory systems, and it's in Aquarius. Aquarius is about technology, about revolution, the internet and computers. And so looking ahead, this sort of new financial world, you know, think about what the changes that Zoom brought, you know, in this year, more reliance on digital things. This is indicating a new way of perhaps a new financial landscape in the years ahead. And, you know, like I said, I'm not a financial advisor, speaker or financial advisor. That's for you and your financial advisor. But it's certainly, you know, the astrology simply states there's unpredictably in the markets ahead. I mentioned the October 31st and the month ahead. And, you know, regarding Aquarius, you know, things like digital currency, cryptocurrencies, these things certainly fit the bill of a Saturn, Jupiter, and Aquarius. And around at the same time, Mars goes direct in Aries after 2 months retrograded. So, you know, as something turns direct, it has force and it's like, here we go, you know, once it picks up speed. And so this is, you know, it's a time where we all get back in the driver's seat. And with renewed wisdom of what we've been learning these past 2 months with regards to our own assertion, our own aggression, and that of others. And it's at the same time as a new moon in Scorpio. And so it's really, as Mars is going forward, it's a time where we're sort of setting intentions and finding new ways of understanding our own motivations, our own behaviors. It's a time for shadow work as we're bursting out of the gate. So, you know, how do we each want to assert ourselves and meet our own shadow? In this world ahead, these are important questions that that it's about. The Scorpio season is all about working with the shadow, doing the inner work, and, you know, rescuing those kids from that cave in our own world. That's a big part of it. What's going on in Scorpio season. And so, yeah, there's a really interesting final chapter here where I'm not sure when the break is, but you want to hear this last part.
The break is coming right now, and we'll be right back to hear the final chapter of this week's Planetary Influences here on the Dr. Kevin Show with Rob Stewart from InnerCenter.org and Lori Powers Auto. We'll be right back.
The Real Conscious Connection. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
911, what is your emergency?
My kid shot himself.
All right, where's the wounds?
911, what's your emergency?
Please help. My son shot his brother.
911, what is your emergency?
Okay. 911, please state your emergency.
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns.
It wasn't locked.
Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the last segment of the Dr. Kevin Show this week, where we're doing Planetary Influences with our semi-regular co-host, Lori Powers Auto, and our astrologer, Rob Stewart from InnerCenter.org. We are getting into Chapter 3, the final chapter of what's going on with us astrologically. Do remember, this is a live call-in show, and if you have questions, you can call in at 202-570-7057. Again, that's 202-570-7057, and ask any of us your questions. Rob, we are here waiting with bated breath.
All right. So, you know, as we've talked before on previous shows, we are approaching the U.S.'s Pluto return. What that is in U.S.'s birth chart, everything has a birthday, of course, companies, countries, people. And the U.S.'s Pluto is reaching, the transiting Pluto is reaching, doing the full cycle. It's returning to its natal position in early 2022. And so this is a rare occurrence. You know, as human beings, we don't live to be 245 years old. So humans don't experience this. But countries do. And in a Pluto return, you know, we know Saturn returns, those occur every 30 years, so at 30 years old, around 30 years old, around 60 years old. There's some challenges that that we work through in our lives. But with a Pluto return, it's deep, permanent transformation, excavation. It's a rebirth, regeneration. A healing crisis. And that's what we've been moving through. That's what we're moving through now in this country. And it's what we'll continue to move through this process. With Pluto returning in the U.S.'s birth chart, Pluto's in the second house of financial finances, money, and survival issues, to be quite frank. And so these are the areas that are coming up to be regenerated in the U.S.'s chart and in this country, which we're all a part of, and the world is too, for better or for worse. So on November 21st, next month, transiting Saturn will be making a conjunction with the U.S.'s natal Pluto. This is at 27 degrees Capricorn, I believe that's what it is. And when Saturn touches natal Pluto, it brings dramatic evolution, transformation. You know, a lot of these themes are similar because Pluto has been involved in all of these conjunctions we've been talking about. But Saturn's about authority. It's about structure, institutions, discipline, and there's also with Saturn Pluto abuse of power, political drama, excavations that are needed for healing, like the healing crisis, of course. And so Saturn cycles are 30 years long, and I just want to touch on a few of these conjunctions that have occurred in the past. This year it occurred on February 24th of 2020, transiting Saturn conjunct natal Pluto in the U.S.'s chart. And this was right before sort of the upswing in the COVID situation. It's when sort of the CDC mentioned that COVID-19 was headed to the pandemic sort of status. You know, this is right before the big outbreak of COVID. So again, these sort of growing pains of Saturn, the sort of limitation and restriction. Saturn's also about limitation, restriction, and those types of things. The other conjunction this year for transiting Saturn with Pluto, again, there's a retrograde in Saturn and in Pluto. So they touched each other twice already this year. This will be the third time this year. So the second time they touched was when they were both retrograde. And this was on August 4th of 2020, just a couple months ago. And, you know, I was doing, just doing an online search, you know, what was going on around that time, checking headlines. And that was the day of the massive explosion in Beirut. You know, one can only, you know, guess as to how these things are related. Who knows and who cares, quite frankly. But these are the types of things that that are Saturn Pluto speak of. And I want to go back to the previous, the one prior to this, that was January 17th, 1991. Again, there was some retrograde touches around that time as well. But January 17th, 1991 was when the Gulf War Desert Storm began. And if you go back another whole Saturn cycle, again, 30 years prior to that, well, the last time that Saturn touched U.S.'s natal Pluto was December 13th, 1961, the beginning, actually 2 days after the beginning of the Vietnam War. And so these are the types of themes that come up with transiting Saturn touching U.S.'s Pluto. And this is what it's occurring in November 21st of this year. And I just want to just bring that up. And unfortunately, you know, this may suggest some type of challenge. And I think it's important for everyone to be mindful of such things, not being pulled into conflict. That's unnecessary. I don't know. Just one man's opinion, but this is sort of the other thing that suggests potential types of conflicts. I really hope this isn't the case, but another potential thing that suggests such a thing is the transiting north node of the moon is currently conjunct the U.S.'s Mars in the seventh house. That's aggression. You know, in the U.S.'s chart, the Mars is in the seventh house, so it's sort of when Mars is in the seventh house, we often think the aggression is always outside of ourselves, but in fact, it's here and there. It's one and the same. So that's something, again, it's unfortunately, I think it's important for everyone to create the space for energetically taking deep breaths and, you know, the type of thing, you know, there's a great saying, what dams you back, you know, and I think it's an important time to dig deep and find the inner peace that is needed to with these challenges that we're dealing with this year. And again, it's about transformation. It's about evolution. It's about letting go of the old things that no longer serve. And all of this is part of those sort of growing pains, you know? And I just, you know, hopefully by stating such things that it's avoidable, of course, but I think it's important for everyone to hold space for, to come to peace in our own life with our own enemies, so to speak, and move from that area rather than from the warlike area that has been such a part of our history collectively. So, that's all I have for today. And again, you know, I hope, obviously, clearly, I hope, you know, these aren't that external conflicts don't come to fruition. I think it's important to send positive energy to everything going on.
Well, certainly it is heavy times, and that this is not a time to be careless with one's actions. We can't help what we think, but we can choose what we do with it. Just like at the beginning of the show, I talked about my UPS man, who there was a part of me that wanted to go shake him and go, what is your problem? Do you know the numbers? They're really not fake. But I didn't. The urge was there, but I didn't. And that's the power, to acknowledge that I'm having the feeling of wanting to strangle somebody, but choosing not to do it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think that is, you know, what we have to keep in mind is, yeah, there's going to be a complexity of feelings. There is going to be a complexity of mixed emotions and a desire to be reactionary. There's almost going to be a push to be reactionary. But we have choices. We do not have to choose to give in to that.
That's right.
And I do want to say, interestingly enough, on November 1st, Sunday of Halloween weekend, I was approached to speak at a psychic mediumship summit. There's five of us that are speaking, and then some are just offering services and stuff like this. I will try to remember to go post the link on the radio show, but if anybody is interested, you can reach out to me at Dr. Kevin at My Dr. Kevin, or post on the show and I'll send you the information, because it's being done on Zoom. But when I was asked what I wanted to speak about, I got very quiet. And the title of my talk is The Way Forward. And I open up the description is, are we on the precipice of a new dark ages, and do we have to be? And those choices that we people who are more self-aware and make our effort or our goal to live as much in the light and illumination as possible, we may have to be the torchbearers in a time of great darkness. Lori, thoughts?
You know, I was just thinking that what you said is exactly what I've been thinking. And you're right. We, you know, backing up a little bit, we do have choices on how we react, and it's not our job to correct everyone to make them think the way we think, because they also feel that they're correct. So it is choices, but the only way we're going to ever move forward is together.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Rob, you're invited back in a month. I expect you to have a better forecast. Talk to those stars. You hear me, boy?
Thanks for having me on.
Hey, I'm blaming you for that. Thank you, Rob Stewart from innercenter.org. And join Lori and I on the second Thursday of November with Thoughtful Thursday. God knows there'll be a lot of thought. Next week, I'm on with author Corby Mettlid, and we're going to talk about her new book. So